Welcome back, everybody, to Hilchos Brachos Kolel. And we are finishing up our discussion, our weeks-long discussion of Ikar V'Tafel. Tonight, we are going to talk about mixtures of different foods, where different foods combine to form one entity. And what is the halacha of what bracha one should say on that entity? How does Ikar V'Tafel play out in those cases? So some of the halacha lamaisa cases that I want to get to at the end of this year include chulint, different types of salads, fruit salad, grilled chicken salad, and also I want to talk about sushi, and along the way, hopefully we'll talk about chocolate-covered fruits or chocolate-covered almonds, peanuts, raisins, all of that. So the Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Yud Beis Sifal, if our simon for this halacha is Reish Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch says in source number one, Kol Shu Ikar V'Imo Tefela, Mivarech Halo Ikar, Poter Satfela, Bein Bibracha Shalofaneha, Bein Bibracha Shalachareha. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, as we know, based on the Mishnah, in Brachos Mem Dalet, that if you have Ikar V'Tafel, one says the Bracha on the Ikar, and that exempts the Tafel. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues, Lo Mibaya Im Ha'Ikar Me'urav Im Ha'Tafel, dot, dot, dot. Not only if the ikar is mixed together with the tafel, do you say the bracha on the ikar? But even if they are separate, you still say the bracha on the ikar, and that exempts the tafel. And we've discussed previously the case of separate items. Tonight, I want to discuss this case where you have two items mixed together. They're me'urav, that the bracha follows the ikar. So the riff in Brachos Chaf Vav Amud Aleph in the Dape HaRif, he concludes the sugya that we've seen in the past, where we said last week we learned about the halacha of kol sheyeshbo, meaning that if you have of 5 grains that are mixed into a dish, and the 5 grains are used lehatimo lehachshiro, says the Rashba, says the Mishnah Berurah, the 5 grains are used in order to enhance the mixture, even if the chamisha saminim, even if the 5 grains are not the majority, nonetheless they are kovea de bracha. Says the Rif that that's not true when it comes to items that are not the 5 grains. For example, rice. Hilkach legabe orez. Kadmav shalei, when you cook the rice, betchilam avarech barim v'nei mizonos, olavasov barim nefashos rabos, kedit haritzna laha masnisa. As we know, the bracha on rice is mizonos, and the bracha achrona is barim nefashos.
Why does he say when you cook it?
Because when it's raw, the bracha would be ha'adama.
Rice.
Yeah, there's I guess there's some way to eat it. So then skip to the end of the riff. Vahani mili b'di'isa la'orez be'ine, aval al yedei ta'arovos lo. So that's all true when the rice is intact in its own, on its own. However, if it's mixed in, then lo, then no, then the bracha is not mizonos. Now, why not? So the Rosh explains a little bit more in source number 3. Umasha kasav Rav Yelfis, taha, de mevarchen ala orez, boi mene mizonos, hani mili bidi isa la orez, be'en, avalaya de taroves lo, that which the Rif wrote. That when do you say mizonos on rice? When it's by itself, but if it's found in a mixture, then not. So why would the bracha not be mizonos when it's in the mixture? So it says the Rosh, the case is, hainu kesha harov mimin acher. If the rice is mixed with other ingredients, and the other ingredients are the majority, so then the bracha does not follow the rice the same way that it would have followed wheat, barley, spelt, oats, rye. It doesn't follow the rice. Rather, what does it follow? Follows the majority. So what we learn here, is that the halacha for a mixture is that the bracha follows the rov. Now, the Beis Yosef is not convinced that everybody agrees with this determination. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Rambam. He assumes that according to the Rambam, that the rov is not koveya. However, the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Ches, Siv Zayin, paskins the Rif and the Rosh lehalacha. So take a look at source number 5. So Ari, hold on 1 second. Akosi says ha'orez, if you chew on the rice, mevarech alav borei pri adama v'achrav borei nefashos. That's talking about uncooked rice. However, v'im bishlo, o shatachno v'asa mimenu pas, if you cook it or bake it, mevarech alav borei mene mizonos v'achrav borei nefashos, v'hu shalo yehi me'urav im daver acher elo orez levado. That's only if it's by itself. However, v'im irib mimenu b'tav shel acher, v'yatav shelo acher hu arov. So again, based on the Rif and the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch writes that if the rice is mixed with other ingredients. And the other ingredients are the majority. Mevarech alav kibirkas oso tavshil. The bracha follows the other ingredients. Okay. So what we have so far is as follows. If we have one mixture, the Mishnah says straight out, im ha'ikar mu'urav im hatafel, so then the bracha follows the ikar. What that means is that if there are some ingredients in the mixture that are not ikar, but rather they're meant to accompany, or as we saw with the five grains, if they're meant to play a binding role, to be ledabik, or they're meant to add volume to inflate the size. If they play a secondary role, then they can be discounted, and the bracha will follow the ikar, meaning what really is this dish being eaten for. However, in many cases, we'll have mixtures where there are multiple ikarim, so to speak. We have multiple ingredients, and each one is playing a sustaining or taste-providing role. So if that's the case, then what's the bracha? Well, if it's the five grains, we said kol sheyeshbo, even if it's the minority, so then it follows the chameshes haminim. What if it's not the five grains? So here, the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rif and the Rosh, is saying that we follow the Rov. And the Rama in Siman Reish Beis, source number 6, has another case of this. He says, v'nisariv yayin b'sheichar, if you have a mixture of wine and beer, as linon achar harov, im harov yayin mevarech bar pi agofen, vim harov sheichar mevarech shahakol. The question is, where did we get this from, that we follow the Rov? Just give me a second. I'll come back to the questions at the end of the section. Okay? So where do we get this from, that we follow the Rov? The Gra, in source number 7, assumes that the Rama got this din of Rov from the halacha of Ikar V'Tafel. In other words, when there are no other reasons to define one ingredient as an Ikar and the other as a Tafel, all things are equal. So then we default to saying that the Rov is the Ikar and the Miot, the minority, is the Tafel. The Gra assumes within the Rama that the Din Rov is still a Din of Ikar V'Tafel. It's just that we don't have another way of ascertaining what is Ikar, what's Tafel. So Rov lets us know what's the Ikar. However, says the Gra, I don't understand. Because that case of the Mishnah, umi masnisin ein raya, the masnisin lo ayri klal benis ariv, ela sho'ochel kol echad bifnei atzmo, ve'ino ochel hatafel, ela bishvil ha'ikar. The Gra says that the Mishnah over there is not really talking about a case of a mixture where everything combines into one, conglomerate. It's talking about two separate items. Now, the Mishnah does say lo mebaya im ha'ikar mu'urav im hatafel, but I guess the way that the Gra is reading the Mishnah is that the principle of ikar v'tafel in the Mishnah is really addressing the case where you have two separate items. Now, so then again, the Gra assumes that according to the Rama, the reason why we follow Rov is because the Rov is the default Ikar. Is there any other way to explain this? So source number 8, the Mishnah Berurah in Shaar HaTzion, in Reish Ches, we saw Reish Ches. Reish Ches is where we said that when you have rice mixed with other things, we follow the Rov. Why is that? So Shaar HaTzion says something very interesting. It says, Da'acharei dekaimolan b'chol ha'Torah rubo kikulo. Since we have a general principle in halacha that we consider the majority like the entirety, so then im harov min haorez chashuv ki ilu hu levado. So then the rov is really considered like all that we have here. The rest is considered almost as if it's non-existent. So there are really two different ways in which we can explain the din rov. Again, when you have two ingredients, neither one is a clear tafel. One is to say, like what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, it's rubo kikulo, meaning you look at the rov and you ignore the ikar. Remember our first shiur when we talked about eclipsing versus subsuming? This is kind of an eclipsing theory. We're saying the rov is ki'ilu the only thing that exists. So therefore we make the bracha on the rov. However, the way the Gra understood the Rama, and also the Prima Gaudim in source number 9, they say that no, this is not rooted in rubo kikulo. What it's really rooted in is Ikar V'Tafel. What's primary? What's secondary? I don't know. I don't know how to decide. Okay, I have no other factor. So let me go based on the majority. Now there's going to be a nafkamina. It's going to be a nafkamina. Says the Prima Gaudim in source number 9, V'hach taroves lav davka she'efshar lahakir. When we talk about a mixture with respect to dine brachos in ikur v'tofel, the mixture doesn't have to be so mixed to the extent, to the degree, that you cannot discern the ingredients. Ela afilu kol echad omi bifnei atzmo, nami basar rov azlimon. Says the Prima Gaudim that even if multiple of the ingredients can be seen, they're still intact, or they're still discernible. Nonetheless, if they're all mixed together, it's considered a taroves for brachos. Says the Prima Gaudim like this. Let's fill in some of the words. If we were going based on rubo kikulo, you might have said that if it's nikar, if the ingredients can be seen, they're discernible, that's not really a taroves. For example, when it comes to the dinim of bittel berov, which is really what we're saying with rubo kikulo. So what's bittel berov? Bittel berov means if you have a mixture, let's say, of min bimino on the deoraisa level, which means you have two things of the same type, or even forget bittel berov, bittel b'shisha. Okay, let's just make it easier. Okay, so you have a drop of treif that falls into a kosher soup. Okay, is the treif discernible? No. Because it's mixed into the soup. It's completely dissolved, completely mixed in. So there we could say bittel. Would anybody dream of saying that if you have a piece of treif that's sitting in soup, and you can see the treif, but it's less than 1/60th of the soup, so I should say bittel b'shishim? No, because the treif is there. Take it out, right? You can't say bittel when there's something that's nikar. So says the Prima Gaudim, or at least implies the Prima Gaudim, if the din rov was following the din of rubo kikulo bittel berov, so we should say that as long as things are nikar, you can't say bittel. However, once we are pinning the din of rov not on bittel berov and rubo kikulo, but rather on the din of ikur v'tofel, so now we could say, okay, ikur v'tofel is not dependent on whether it's nikar or not. What it's dependent on is I have one item here that I'm eating, and there's a majority ingredient and a minority ingredient. So follow the majority if there's no other way to determine the ikur v'tofel. So how do we paskin, by the way, on that halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Yud Beis, Sif Aleph, says like this, source number 10. Ema ikar me'urav, kigon kol ta'arov v'shnei minim. You have a mixture of two types of food. Cho'echad hu ha'ikar v'asheni eino ba ela letakno u lahachshiro. So again, if the second ingredient is playing a secondary role, it's just coming to facilitate, so then, for sure, it's considered tofel. O afilu shneim ikar, or maybe both are ikar. Ela cho'echad merube mechavero, harov hu ha'ikar. That's what we learned in the Shulchan Aruch. Kamosha kasav simid reish chesiv zayin, which we saw, which was the case of the rice. Now Mishnah Berurah paskins like Prima Gaudim. Va'afilu kol min v'min omi bifnei atzmo v'nikar. Even if each ingredient stands on its own and is recognizable, nami basar rov azlinon, we still follow the rov. Now you could ask a shayla, hold on. Didn't I just quote the Shaar HaTzion a couple minutes ago, saying that it's rooted in rubo kikulo? So why does Mishnah Berurah say it's rooted in rubo kikulo, but he passed inside the Prima Gaudim that it's not, that it's based on
Paskins? His language is very clear here. Right before
that. Yeah, and he's also including it in the din of Ikar V'tofel.
Right. He talks about it as being Ikar V'tofel.
So Rav Dovi, what I wanted to say to be Miyashiv the Stira was perhaps, Bederech Efsher. I wanted to say that the in Shaar HaTzion, he is referencing the din of Bittel Berov, not to say that that's the Mechayiv, not that Bittel Berov is the mechanism of why we follow the Rov, but rather Bittel Berov reflects the Chashivos of Rov. Bittel Berov reflects, it's a simin, that the majority has significant status in Halacha, such that it can outweigh the minority. And that means that when I have no other factor to follow, okay, so then my Rov should be the Iker. But the Mishnah Berurah is still following the Prima Gaudim, that's a din of Ikar V'tofel. Perhaps, b'derech efsher. Okay. Let's stop here for questions. Yeah, Reb Dovi.
This might be another nafkamina here, but we're talking about rove. What about, this gets back to the sushi question, is it rove specifically, or what about a plurality?
Meaning 66% or 51%?
No.
Oh, if you have 33. Right.
I have 40 rice, I think, and 30 avocado and 32.
I think according to the Vizos HaBracha, it has to at least reach the mark of greater than 50%.
Otherwise, it doesn't tell us.
Right.
Then we get back to Iker and Tahoe.
Right. All right.
I just thought it was more of a logistical question.
Yeah, sure.
Different Shulchan Aruch versus Beis Yosef. Didn't Beis Yosef write
Yes. So the Beis Yosef same author of Yosef Cairo, but in Beis Yosef, he quotes all the different opinions. Shulchan Aruch is where he's codifying. He's saying this is the opinion that we accept. Eitan, your question before?
My question was on the wine and beer case.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that you would ever say a shahakal on the wine, even if it's mixed with the beer.
Yeah.
Because wine, first of all, beer is mostly water. Like, if you mix wine with water, you would never, it doesn't matter how much water you put in, you would always say nothing. Even if it was the majority of water, let's say.
Not necessarily, if it's so diluted.
There's
a certain ratio of dilution.
Right, 51 and 49,
okay.
But even if it was close, even if you had 30 and 70, beer would seem similar. Why would you ever say?
Okay, good. It could be that their beers were stronger. I don't know.
I was also in that case. I guess it's not nicker either. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with the case with the rice bread, the rice isn't nicker in the rice bread.
Correct.
Right?
But there, where the rice bread, at least in the case in the Shulchan Aruch, is where it's really just like rice and water. However you make rice bread.
Yeah, I don't know how to make rice bread. But it's like you grind it up and you don't recognize the rice.
Right.
But it's still rice flour.
Is it rice flour?
Okay. So Ad Kan, what we have seen, let's summarize what we've seen so far, and then we'll get down one more principle in the halacha, and then I think we'll be able to get into the practical applications, okay? So Ad Kan, we have seen as follows. If we have a mixture of multiple ingredients, the first question we need to ask ourselves is one of them the Chamesh HaSaminim? If yes, then as long as it's playing a taste-providing role, a hat'imo, lachshiro, the bracha will follow the Chamesh HaSaminim, regardless of how much there is. What if the multiple ingredients are not Chamesh HaSaminim? So then we need to ask ourselves, well, is there an Iker and a Tafel? Is there one ingredient that is the food, and there's another ingredient that's coming to facilitate, that's coming to be medabek, to bind, to inflate, as we explained, to be melafis? Assuming that we have two Ikarim here, we have two parts of this mixture, both of which are completely necessary or are pivotal parts of the food. So how do we decide the bracha? We said, based on the Rif and the Rosh, that the bracha follows the Rov, and that's codified in Shulchan Aruch. We asked, what is the basis for the Din Rov? We suggested two possibilities, either Rubo Kekulo, in other words, Bitl Berov, that we only look at the Rov, we don't look at the Miut, we don't look at the minority. Or, we said, more likely, that no, it's a halacha of Iker v'tafel. It's just how do I decide what's the Iker, what's the tafel, when I have nowhere else to go, I go based on the Rov. And based on that line of thinking, we quoted the Prima Gadim, which is codified in Mishnah Brura, that even if some of the ingredients are Nikar, nonetheless, it can still be considered a Taroves. I should mention, by the way, that the Chai Adam disagrees. The Chai Adam thinks that if you have ingredients that are Nikar, you have to make multiple brachos. So says the Chai Adam. That could be either because he thinks that Nikar is, Mistama, he thinks that Nikar undermines the Taroves. Is that because he has a different way of looking at the Din Rov? Is it because he thinks he's more of a Bitl Berov person? Or is it because, no, I agree, Iker v'Tafel, but if it's Nikar, you can't really say one's Ikar, one's Tafel. So, Yesh Ladun. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, Safik brachos lahakel, therefore we don't pass in like the Chai Adam. You don't make two brachos on two discernible items. Rather, you would make one bracha on the mixture based on the roof.
Is that a case where it's, if you can find two other things separately, go for it, or you don't even have to make the effort?
Ah, very good. So in Rabbi Badner, he says over there that it's not even necessary to go that far. We follow the din. Not l'chayim. We follow Mishnah Berurah. You make the bracha on the roof. Okay? Now, The last question we need to analyze before getting into the practical applications is, what is considered a tarovis? What is really defined as a mixture? What constitutes a mixture? Okay, and I'll give you two poles. So on the one hand, you have something like a soup or a chulent. That's mamish a tarovis. It's all cooked together, right? It's a stew. On the other hand, you have where you take one cracker and you put peanut butter on top. That's clearly not a tarovis. It's two separate items that are being eaten simultaneously, but it's not a tarovis. So how do we decide what is a tarovis? Aruch HaShulchan, in source number 13, gives us the key, which is quoted in Poskim, which is that anything that would come up in one spoonful, where you have multiple ingredients that come up in one spoonful, that would be considered a tarovis of those ingredients. Now, does that mean, this is something I was struggling with, does that mean that you have one dish? Let's say I was thinking of a salad, for example. Sometimes in the salad, you'll get multiple ingredients in the forkful, and sometimes you won't. So how do we decide whether it's a tarovis or not? Do you go based on that one time of all of the forkfuls of this food? You get all the ingredients, so therefore it is a tarovis? Or no, it's not a tarovis until all of the forkfuls have multiple ingredients. So I saw Rav Ben Zion Abba Shalna, or Litzion Yud Dalet in Dine Brachos, source number 14. He writes that he's talking about a fruit salad, and he says, If one slices the fruits into large pieces, where each one is eaten separately, so then you have to say separate brachos. Why? Because it's not a tarovis. This halacha that you say only one bracha based on the rov, that's assuming that you have a tarovis. If you don't have a tarovis, then you have to make multiple brachos. Aval im apiros nechtechu lechatichos ketanos, if they're finely sliced fruits, v'hu ochel bechol pam, kama chasichos yachad. He writes, if every time you have multiple fruits together in one bite, then mevarich alapri ha'ikari bilvad upoter shara apiros. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. Right? Because how are you supposed to say that it's a tarovis, but, you know, 50% of the time you're not getting both of the ingredients? The way that I think about a classical tarovis, a traditional tarovis, is where you have a stew, everything comes together. So if we're then going to apply that, okay, so we could say a spoonful, but at least it should have to be consistently that the foods, he says, b'chol pam. At the l'chol apachos, it should have to be consistent that you get all of the ingredients, or at least the ingredients in which you're covering with one bracha in one spoonful. Follow?
So you're saying most salads, if you have a fruit salad, fruits and lettuce, you need to make two brachas.
Let's see. Right? I want to get there. Okay.
You said it's first, like a vegetable soup where you actually have the chunks of vegetables in there. You wouldn't have it, because you'd see different pieces. You get a spoonful of carrots and
right. A vegetable soup you probably make a adama anyway. Because
it's mashed, I guess, right? It doesn't ever
go vegetables.
Especially if it's all cooked together, right?
Unless it's blended, I guess.
Okay, so that's those are all the principles I think that we need. I want to mention one other point, which is Bir Halacha in source number 12, where he quotes a Derech HaChaim. Source number 12, page number 2. He quotes, V'Derech HaChaim Os Yud Ches. You eat two foods mixed together in one bowl. Im ikar kavanaso al ha'echad, mevarich alav upoter hasheni afilu hu hamuat. Says the Derech HaChaim that if your ikar kavana, the reason why you're eating this food is for the minority, you make the bracha on the miut. So I think what he's saying is, again, the din rov does not get rid of the whole beginnings of our sugya of ikar v'tafel.
That's a last resort.
Right. If you know it's a tafel because it's playing the role of being the lafis, it's just an accompaniment, it's just playing a secondary role like the peanut butter on top of the cracker, so then you don't consider the rov. Then you go basar the ikar. It's only when you need both. It's both. They're both parts of the mixture are ikar to you, so then you go bust for the roof. Okay? All right. So let's see what we can do with all of these applications. So the first one I want to do is cholent. Cholent is a good one to start with because it's actually cooked together. Everybody would agree that cholent is a tagoves. I think the word cholent means tagoves, no? Okay, so everybody would agree that cholent is a tagoves. So when we take one step back, sorry, when we're getting to the practical applications, halacha lemaisa, we need to consider the following considerations. So as we're going through these different applications, let's keep in mind these issues, these questions. Number one, is the item a ta'aroves achas? Is it one mixture or not? Question number one. Remember, we had a definition for that, one spoonful. Okay. Number two, what is the relationship between the items in the mixture? Is it two ikarim or is one tafel? Because it really comes to accompany or play another secondary role. And number three, what's your ikar kavana? What are you really eating this for? Are you eating it for both? Are you eating it really for one? So we need to keep in mind all of those different considerations when we're trying to determine the bracha in the following practical application. So again, let's begin with cholent. So everybody agrees that it's ta'aroves achas. Would we say that one item is balalafis another item? That's hard to say. A lot of people like the meat most in the cholent, but if they just wanted meat, they wouldn't be eating cholent. Meaning the fact that the meat is mixed together with the barley and the potatoes, it's all it's a geschmack having all of them together.
You have to have barley to have a cholent.
What?
You have to have barley's the base.
Or beans, whatever. But part of the geschmack is having all of that in one, right? So I think in most cases, we would say that we're not going to determine this based on your ikar kavana because you want the whole thing. Good. So that means that a cholent is where we have multiple ikarim. We have potatoes, we have barley, and we have meat. Okay. Let's assume that, first of all, let's go with barley, okay? If it's a ta'aroves achas, so you tell me, what should the bracha be?
Mizonos.
And only mizonos.
Only mizonos.
Right? Why mizonos? Even if the barley is the miut. Why? Because it's chameshes haminim.
But if you're sparty and use rice.
Okay, if you use rice, so then fine. Then or if you just have beans, no barley, so then we have another shayla. Yeah. So then what would you do? If it's ta'aroves achas?
Rove.
You should follow the rove. Exactly. I would assume that in most of the cases, the rove is going to be the base.
But it has to actually be a rove.
Oh, it has to be 50%. You're not going to get 50%?
When you have potatoes in there and beans and meat.
Depends how much.
I don't know if the barley is going to be 50%.
Does it have to be more than the rice? But it's the only question if it's rice.
It has to be at least a rove. Actual 50%.
Because it's mizonos. It's chavesh mineidah. That was last week.
Now hold on. Beans are hadam.
Right.
So beans plus potatoes outweighs the meat. If you have two ingredients that have the same bracha, they can combine for the rove. Okay? Now, what if, which I think is can often be the case, what if some of the ingredients, meaning to say like this, is it the type of cholent where you get everything in a spoonful consistently? Or is it sometimes where you have like big pieces of meat, they're not like shredded, it's a big piece of meat, and you're not going to get that piece of meat in every spoonful. It's like you savor it. You have to, you're waiting for that spoon when you get the meat,
but
right?
But you do get it. Is it mixed? Isn't the main question that...
So Rabbi Bodner...
Mixed together or not?
Rabbi Bodner has a whole page on cholent.
Right.
And he writes like this. On page 80, he writes like this. He says, it is important to note that if the cholent consists of large pieces which are not eaten together on the same spoonful or forkful, it is not considered a single entity, and the various components require their own separate brachos. So Rabbi Bodner thinks that when the ingredients are big enough that they wouldn't be eaten in the same spoonful, that goes back to the Aruch HaShulchan, then that undermines the status of ta'aroves achas. It's not actually one entity. It's not actually one mixture.
So that would apply to a chicken soup also, then, depending on the size, right?
Hold on. Let me finish the cholent, then we'll come back. Okay? Let's go case by case, and then if we have other cases, we'll throw them in at the end, okay? Well, hold on 1 second. So he's saying that that if the piece is big enough, it's going to require its own bracha, which will mean then that if the potatoes and if the barley and potatoes, for example, always come up in the same spoonful, then you'll say a mizonos that will cover the barley and the potatoes. But if the meat is big and it's only going to come up in some spoonfuls but not others, you would have to say a separate shahakal. The best solution for all of these cases is to make brachos on other things. You make a mizonos on a cookie, you make a shahakol on a drink, you make a adam on something else.
You'd always have barley in every spoonful. You'd have some barley.
Right.
But the question is that the meat wouldn't be considered me'urav with the barley because the meat's not coming with the barley consistently.
What? Wait.
That's the point.
Every spoonful, though,
you get barley, but you don't always get the meat.
The meat
so there's
is so
you
big.
Don't have two items mixed together.
The meat
when you
is
do get meat, spoonful. You always have barley.
Not necessarily.
I'm saying, if a lot of times, because I've seen this a lot, where like you haven't shown it, right? Let's talk potatoes for a second, because I think meat can get like a little bit more. Yeah, potato, big piece of potato. So like you want to say hadama the potato because it's big. But it's almost impossible to get the potato out of the cholent right. without any barley on it.
Barley's going to stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Barley sticks to everything. Mm-hmm. So once something's in the cholent, so you're never really eating potato without barley. You might be eating a lot of barley without potato, but you're never eating potato without barley. Or you're never eating meat without barley. You're eating, unless you have like a real like old-fashioned barley-free stew, but like if you have the barley in there and the barley's getting on everything or the beans are getting on everything,
mm-hmm.
then is that really what he's talking about?
Should wash it every Kiddush.
He's having a Pesach cholent.
And no beans either.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And you're always going to have some barley
right.
with the other ingredients. In which case, mizonos and shine.
Why is the barley not considered so binding it on meat?
Because it's not there just to bind.
Yeah, it's binding all the stuff.
Also, people like the barley.
I don't know. I feel like. You could put in, for example,
but people like it. Okay, so Abdovi makes an interesting point. After that, maybe we would say just the mizonos, since the barley comes with everything. Okay, next. So that's our case of a cooked mixture. What about mixtures that are not cooked together? So let's get to sushi. And in order to be makdim, in order to introduce sushi, let's actually first discuss the case of chocolate-covered raisins. Okay. So chocolate-covered raisins, they're not cooked together. You put melted chocolate on top of the fruit. But now, they weren't cooked together, but they certainly feel like a taroves, meaning you're going to eat both unless you go out of your way to abnormally eat it, where you like bite off the chocolate, but the normal way to eat it is to eat them together. So what is the halacha over there? Rab Moshe in a tshuva, in Or HaChaim Chel Gimel Siman Lamed Aleph, I don't have it on the source sheet for you, but he does write in that tshuva that the chocolate-covered raisin would be the same as our favorite ice cream sandwich, where we would say that we have two ikarim, and you would make two brachos, according to Rav Moshe. Make a shahakol on the chocolate and a ha'etz on the fruit.
You have to go out of your way to nibble and then get
You make a little shahakol first, and then you make a ha'etz.
So you can get the chocolate by itself. How are you going to get the raisin by itself?
No, you don't need, once you make the shahakol on the chocolate, you can eat it all together. So now, why does Rav Moshe say that? Lichora, the reason why Rav Moshe knows the din rov, right? Why don't we follow the rov, whichever one's bigger? So lechora, what Rav Moshe is saying, is that look at source number 18. It's really small. I wanted it to fit on the page. Okay, so some of the achronim challenge Rav Moshe, and they say, how can you say two brachos on a chocolate covered raisin? It's one item. It's one food. You don't make two brachos on one food. You make one bracha per food. You don't make two brachos on one food. So over there, Rabbi Badner writes in the footnote, he says, V'nir l'anias daiti, it's on the fifth line, the eno kasha, the davka betav shil echad asuya, mit ha'arov ha'shnei minim, she'in shayach levarich alav shtei brachos, me'achar shumaychal echad, hasa mazlinon basarov. He says, when do we follow the rov and say that there's one bracha that follows the majority? When they're actually mixed together. Two foods that are separate and distinct. They were not even baked together. Kimo ice cream sandwich. Shapir mivarechim shtei brachos. Velo azlinan basar rov. Meaning, according to Rav Moshe, this looks like a mixture, feels like a mixture, but it ain't a mixture. It's not a taruves, because it's taking two separate items and putting one on top of the other. It's exactly like having peanut butter on a cracker, except in this case, really, you're really eating both. Like, it's not the same as peanut butter on a cracker in terms of the role of both, because the peanut butter, everybody agrees, comes to just accompany the cracker. But a chocolate-covered raisin, that's a chalos bifnei atzma. You know, that's like a real chefzo. You want both the chocolate and the raisin. So two brachos.
Ramosha holds cooking is sort of changes.
That goes back already to the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah. But, and by the way, he has a raya for this, a Mishnah Berurah that we've quoted in the past. Remember the case of the duvshanin, the sweet pastry that has a mirkachas, that has a jam on top? And the Mishnah Berurah said how many brachos in that case?
Two brachos
in that case. That is the paradigm for Rav Moshe's psak. So when you have ice cream sandwich, chocolate-covered fruits, you make two brachos. Now, not everybody agreed with Rav Moshe because they felt that, okay, but where does the buck stop? Meaning a chocolate-covered raisin is one food, they said. Okay, very nice. One is layered on top of the other. So an ice cream sandwich, we could say two brachos. Okay, you can see both. Like, they're much, much more discernible, each part. Chocolate-covered raisin, it's one thing.
So you might not know what's inside.
You don't know what's inside. Shalom Zachar, for multiple reasons, you don't know what's inside. Okay. But so they said, Rav Yashiv and other poskim, they said that, no, the bracha is one bracha. How do we decide the bracha? Rof. Or if you're the type of person who really, really wants it from one thing, like you don't even want the raisin there, you just want the chocolate, or you don't even want the chocolate, you just want the fruit, so then fine. So then you go buster the ikker. But if you really like both, you go buster the rove. What, Eitan, what do you think is the rove in a peanut butter, in a peanut M&M?
I have no idea.
Peanut.
Rove is a peanut.
I don't
know.
What
is the rove?
In volume.
I think the peanut, for sure.
The peanut's the rove?
Because the outside, it depends on your...
The peanut M&M?
How can you have peanut?
Which one?
The
majority.
It's like the jelly donut problem.
M&M.
We need some like serious physicists because like outside things like they have like circumference and
okay.
Volume adds up very quickly.
It's like the
plus the candy
like
shell.
So Rabosai, now that we have that machlokas, so now we can talk about sushi. What do you think Rav Moshe would say about sushi?
I think he would say separate
brachos. You make a mizonos on the rice, and a shahakol on the fish. Or if you're having vegetable sushi and you really want the vegetables, you make adam on the vegetables.
What about if you deep fry it? Does that change it? If you put the batter on it, you cook it together to make the sushi,
you cook it into one thing?
Yeah. But then again, when you slice it, it's still individual, though.
Wow. Okay. Then I think boss of the rove. But okay, let's just simple for now. Let's go based on the regular sushi. So I think Rav Moshe would say multiple brachos. I looked online. And I saw that Rabbi Heinemann of the Star K paskin like Rav Moshe that you say two brachos. However, Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, they said no. Based on Rav Yashiv and I believe Rav Shlomo Zalman and most poskim, they said that no, sushi is one food. Okay, you know, it's not cooked together, but it's one food. It's all one thing. So you have to make one bracha. So what should the bracha be? You follow the rov. Apparently, in many cases of sushi, the rice is the rove, and that's why you'll hear people say that the bracha should be mizonos. If you don't know what the rove is, so some suggest that you kind of take it apart, and you make a mizonos on the rice separately, and then a separate bracha on the filling. I saw one opinion that says, forget the rice. What's the ikker here? What are you eating it for?
Fish.
The fish, you're eating it for the fish. Now, I'm not a fish guy, right? But you're paying a lot more for the fish than for the rice. What are you eating it for? You're eating it for the fish. So I saw Rav Ben Chaim from YU. He said, you make a shagol. Because what are you eating it for? Now, but the counter argument is to say, well, you know, people really like this whole combination. You know, they love the taste of the rice together with the filling. Ah, it's a schmack. So no, so then we consider it like a mixture. You would follow the rov. So I think halacha lemaisa for sushi, that's how our post can say, you follow the rov. In many cases, the rov is the mizonos. If not, then you should, I guess, take it apart. Or the best thing to do would be to find other things that you can make brachos on. But again, obviously, we're assuming that you don't have that option before you. So what do you do? So that's going to be our conclusion. Now, the last...
Like a miniature hot dog and a Franks and blankets.
That's a real mizonos.
That's, first of all, right. So there you have grain instead of rice.
Okay, fine.
Right. So if you can, but the question is that considered like a mixture? They're baked together. Right. You know what that's more similar to? That's more similar to a schnitzel, where you have a coating. The wrapper is really like a coating for the hot dog. Now, but everybody loves both. Well, my son doesn't, but many love both, right?
A lot of kids
separate them, right? But so I would think that in that case, Vizos HaBracha said that when you have a thick coating, it's you would make two brachos, because how can you say that the coating is the ikker? Meaning, the ikker is clearly the hot dog. The it's a wrapper. That's what it's called, right? So there's definitely an argument to be made to make two brachos in that case.
It's definitely not a shahakal.
You definitely have to make a bracha on the wrapper. Yeah. Okay. Now, the last case that I wanted to address tonight is that of salad. So if you have, let's talk about different types of salads. If you have a fruit salad where like everything is, we saw before, finely sliced, it's all mixed together, it's one taroves, you're going to get all of the items or many of the items in one spoonful. So then what do we say? It's taroves achas. There are multiple ikarim here. It's not like you want one fruit more than the other. It's not like one fruit is servicing the other fruit. So then what do? You go based on the rov.
But you can combine different fruits for
yes, a... yes. Now, what if though, what would you say on a grilled chicken salad? So I would think that, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, are steak salad, grilled chicken salad, all the same thing? Is it really a taroves achas? You're not going to get the protein in even, I'm not even sure, in 50% of the forkfuls, let alone all of them, like what Rabban Tzion Abishol said.
But again, flipping this side, will you get the chicken without, will you ever eat the chicken by itself?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I think most of the times you have a big piece of chicken, you just pick up a piece of chicken. That's part of the point, too.
That's different than you can. Right, right. Now, so I would think that it's, I'm not sure, what do you think that that's a taroves achas, according to our definition?
You need different broths.
So then I would say like this. So then what you need to decide then, I mean, even before the taroves question, the first thing you need to decide is one thing balalafis the other thing? Like, are you eating this really because you like the chicken, you like the steak, you're having the lettuce because your wife told you to, right? or are you...
It's a side dish.
Right? No, I'm not saying I personally, I really like both. I may even enjoy the salad part more, okay? But there are people who are like, no, I need to have that because, you know, for my doctor told me I need to have that, okay? So then the salad is being bought lelafes, the protein, in which case it's ikar v'tafel, right? And you would make the bracha just on the ikar, just on the protein. Assuming, yeah, because he holds also the ikar v'tafel. Like he's, like right. We know, right? And you can't deny ikar v'tafel in terms of the role of the food. What we're assuming is that, no, you're eating the salad and you want all of it. You like all of it. You really, like, you're eating it for the whole experience of having the vegetable and having the protein all together. So then it seems to me that it makes sense to say multiple brachos, because it's hard to say that this is a taroves achas.
Which bracha do you make first?
You would make the Adama first. Adama and then the shahakol. Now, also to throw in as another sniff, you know, for the two brachos. So first of all, it might not even be a taroves achas. If it is a taroves achas, so hold on. Is it like, is it mamish ataru v'sachas, or is it more like the chocolate covered, you know, raisin and the ice cream sandwich, where for Rav Moshe anyway you say two brachos, right? So there's I think a lot of room to argue that two brachos should be said on that type of salad. That's what I was thinking. I have to follow up with some of the poskim, you know, with Rav Willig Shlita to see if what he thinks lemaisa, but that's what I was thinking came out of the sugya.
So if you flip okay. And somebody wants ice cream. They want a vanilla ice cream. The only ice cream that's available is ice cream sandwich. So he has no interest in the cookie. But
Josh Shahakol, Rav Moshe says that beferish.
Rav Moshe
says
he wants
beferish. Pamole, Rav Moshe says that. Same thing as an ice cream cone, where the guy doesn't want the cone. It's just the only way for him to eat the ice cream. He doesn't make a bracha on the cone. Because even a mizonos, even a chamesha saminim, if they're playing a role, right, of balalafes, it's exempt from the bracha. Exactly. Okay, so just to summarize what we saw tonight, we discussed the dinim of taroves. We discussed the halacha of rov. When you have multiple ikarim, we asked why rov. We explained two different approaches. We showed how maybe there's an afkamina of nikar. We showed how we paskin in that case. We discussed what constitutes a taroves in the Aruch HaShulchan's line of the spoonful. And then we came to practical applications in terms of the chulent, where we mentioned that according to Rabbi Bonner, there may be a difference between smaller pieces and bigger pieces, although Rav Dovi noted a good point that since you're going to have the barley in every bite, so maybe it would be sufficient just to say a mizonos. And then we spoke about non-cooked mixtures, including chocolate-covered snacks, sushi, and salads. And we discussed Rav Moshe Shita of two brachos, and we discussed the majority poskim that we follow the rove, unless, again, like we said in the salad case, where it's hard to say that it's actually a taro v'sachas, in which case you would need two brachos. Yashar koach, everybody, on a very difficult limud of Ikar v'Tafel. I hope that we gain some clarity both in the lamdus and also in the halacha lamaisa. And going forward, I think we're going to, in advance of Purim, we're going to do some inyani diyoma, try to prepare for Purim a little bit. So in the next 2 weeks, we'll have inyani Purim leading up to Kiyumu v'Kiblu. Okay. Have a good week.